Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time, and the host will be notified that there is a caller in queue. Otherwise, please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
There is a dream whose time has come for us to claim our birthright, each and every one. Evil hands have intervened, controlling from the shadows, think they can't be seen. But we have eyes, see in the dark, to cast a light upon the madness we embark. Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency, for we must be the masters of our destiny. Upon their face, sincerity, while underneath the self-agenda does proceed. But falsity perfumes the air, the sin screams louder than the finest ever there. They'll fill your place with GMOs, and soon your lineage will never cease to grow. Inject your blood with toxic waste. The world is all but theirs if you'll just die in haste. Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency, for we must be the masters of our destiny. Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency, for we must be the masters of our destiny. For we must be the masters of our destiny. For we must be the masters of our destiny. Oh.
Welcome. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. with vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips, coming to you live Wednesday afternoons at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, 4 Mountain, and 3 p.m. Pacific Time. We are proudly simulcast. This is coming to you live on Freedomizer Radio, freedomizerradio.com, and also Homeopathy World Community Radio, homeopathyworldcommunity.com. Thanks to the brilliant and amazing and tireless work of Homeopathy World Community founder Debbie Bruck. Debbie Bruck is here at this same time on Wednesdays, but only the last Wednesday of the month. So she'll be here next week, and I'll have next Wednesday off, but I'll be back in May And let's see, I think we probably will have, I have to look at a calendar again here, if we have 4 or 5 weeks in May. In any case, Debbie Bruck will be back the last Wednesday in May, and I will be here for the rest of the Wednesdays in May. And coming to you live from the Vaccine Right Studio in beautiful Asheville, North Carolina. Tons to talk about today, as always. I wanted to start right off the bat here. Now, I give you a combination of vaccine news stories and information about your legal right to refuse vaccines, if that is your choice, in a wide variety of different situations and circumstances on this show. And by the way, this is a talk show, and you can call in during the live show if you have questions or comments about vaccine issues, your rights. So in any event, let's see, let's push on here. We have, and when I talk about news articles, most of those news articles, most of the time, those are articles that are linked on one of my websites. If you just go to vaccinerights.com, on the right hand, near the top, but on the right hand side of that home page, and it's a pretty small home page. There's a banner at the very top and some links underneath that. But on the right hand side, there are some additional links, and there's one that says vaccine news. Just click on that vaccine news link at vaccinerights.com, the home page there. That'll take you to my other website, the Pandemic Response Project, where I actually post links to articles, an ongoing, usually daily edited, meaning adding new links to new vaccine articles, most of them concerning vaccines, politics or law or closely related issues. There are other sites that post more of the purely vaccine medical information, although you can't really draw a clear line between the law and politics and medicine in this arena. But I try to focus more on the legal and political aspects because there's just only so many hours in a day I'd be working on that list of articles as a huge part-time job if I tried to have it be comprehensive of everything out there that goes on and comes up day-to-day in the vaccine arena. There's stuff going on throughout the United States and around the world. So try to get the most important ones, the most immediate and relevant ones, and again, with a focus on politics and law to a large extent. So one of these articles is actually an article from France, and it's in French, but if you use the Google browser, it offers you Google Translate, and it does a just, you know, click of a button, it instantly translates it. I haven't used Google Translate a lot, and I'm sure its accuracy is short of 100%, but it I was real impressed with it. In fact, this, I think, was the first time, at least any time recently, that I can remember that I've used it, and I thought it did a pretty good job of translating it, the articles in French. Talking about and I'm going to do my best guess at the pronunciation of the man's name, but a Dr. Dahlberg in France, quoted as saying, Gardasil will be the biggest medical scandal of all time. Gardasil, the HPV, one of the two HPV vaccines. Now, Dr. Dahlberg is a former pharmaceutical industry physician. If I understand this correctly, used to work for Merck, which is the manufacturer of the Gardasil vaccine, as it turns out. And this particular page that I've linked to from my website just has some excerpts from a full article that you can link to from this site. But I just wanted to read some of these excerpts here. Take Gardasil, we must measure the extent of the scandal. Everyone knew at the time of obtaining U.S. permission to market the vaccine. He refers to Diane Harpu, who was a leader, opinion leader in the U.S. on this, who shot earlier alarm bells pointing to the what this doctor refers to as a hoax and scam. Now, I've have not looked deeply into Gardasil personally, but I have talked with people who have, and I'm of the distinct impression that the Gardasil vaccine is exactly that, a hoax and a scam. But it's interesting to hear this coming not only from a physician, but a former employee of the pharmaceutical company that manufactures the vaccine. He says, Gardasil is useless, and yet we pay a fortune for it. And he says, all levels of the decision makers know. So he's claiming this is not some obscure, you know, well-covered hidden fact that nobody knows about. Now, I'll just offer a personal opinion, and it's conjecture on my part, speculation, but I suspect that most of the doctors and nurses or other people who are pushing the vaccine on the front lines, the ones who are actually injecting the vaccines, they probably believe it's a helpful and necessary or if not necessary, a very helpful vaccine in everyone in the proper target population, which is mostly women of childbearing age and then more recently boys of the same general age range, I would assume. are all now targeted for this vaccine. I want to say targets because that's really a better word for it. But I suspect most of those people are simply misinformed. They're just relying on bad information that they believe comes from a reliable source, such as the CDC or maybe some of the medical studies that claim to find support for the vaccine, if there are any. But he says we find cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome, paralysis in the lower limbs, sclerosis, encephalitis, inflammation of the brain, all things that can happen, and of course death as well. And he predicts that Gardasil will be the biggest medical scandal of all time, because at some point we'll prove that the vaccine for scientific and technical achievement has no effect on cancer of the cervix, and that many, many cases of adverse effects here, it's destroying lives, even killing people, for the sole benefit of laboratories. And I think I'm making an educated guess here that for purposes of translation, I think the word laboratory here is referring to the manufacturers, the pharmaceutical companies. The financial interests are just too important for the vaccine to be withdrawn. This is a really fundamental point for really the entire vaccine controversy and for some other controversies as well, because I think part of the difficulty in raising awareness on what's really going on with vaccines is getting people to believe that it's possible that the vaccines could be a hoax. Nobody would really impose widespread injury and death just for profit. I mean, nobody would really do that. Or would they? And that's really the question. If you don't believe that, no, it's not possible that the CDC is corrupt and they're just working for the pharmaceutical profits and they don't care if people are being injured and killed. That doesn't really happen anyway. You know, this is what the question we have to ask ourselves and the question we have to bring up to others who seem skeptical that there could be a problem with vaccines because it's just not a possibility in their psychological worldview that there could be that kind of corruption, and not in America, maybe in, you know, Iran or North Korea, but not here in America. You know, only in those evil empires overseas somewhere does that kind of nonsense go on. This is America. We're all free here. That would never happen here. Well, sorry to shatter your little dream, folks, but it's time to wake up out of that dream, and it's not going to be comfortable. As the saying goes, the truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. And this is a classic example of that one. So anyway, fascinating though, and frankly wonderful for the cause of truth and justice that we have more and more physicians speaking out, and now this Dr. Dahlberg in France. Thank you, Dr. Dahlberg. We appreciate you very much here in the U.S., as I'm sure many who have suffered or know of the suffering, the unnecessary suffering for the sake of pharmaceutical profits caused by the Gardasil vaccine. Here's another. I just love it when officials wake up. There's another article The title is Congressmen, and then quote, so they're quoting the congressman, CDC should be investigated. He compares the CDC with regard to vaccine safety, corruption in the CDC regarding vaccine safety, compares that to Bernie Madoff. Yeah, you got my ear on that one. Congressman Bill Posey has strong words for government agency, concludes, I think the CDC should be investigated. Congressman Posey, my hat is off to you, sir. Thank you for stepping up and speaking out. And boy, is he going to take some hits for that. But somebody's got to do it, and we've got to keep doing it. And some of us are going to take some hits for speaking out and telling the truth, as certainly occurs anytime someone in the TV media realm speaks up with a politically incorrect view as defined by the industries who profit from what they consider to be the politically correct view. So in an April 8th interview on Autism One's A Conversation of Hope radio show, Congressman Bill Posey strongly resolved and demands for transparency. He discussed the U.S. Center for Disease Control's handling of vaccine safety studies, which affect, quote, our most precious resource in our nation, our children. Couldn't agree with you more there. The 30-minute interview conducted by vaccine injury watchdog PhD biochemist Brian Hooker delved into what Posey calls the incestuous relationship between the public health community and the vaccine makers and public officials. And boy, that just hits it on the nail on the head there. He's a Florida legislator known as Mr. Accountability, and he did not mince words when criticizing current and past CDC officials, including indicted fraudster Dr. Paul Thorson. We've talked about him on this show in the past. Still looking for him, pretending they can't find him. He was indicted on, gosh, what was it, something like 13 counts of fraud and 9 counts of money laundering, something to that effect, give or take. Mr. Accountability, Florida Congressman Bill Posey, also referred to Merck vaccine president Dr. Julie Gerberding, who was a former CDC director. She left the CDC to go work for Merck Vaccines. Not a trivial conflict of interest there, folks, and that's quite revealing about how these systems work. And the agency's current spokesperson regarding autism and vaccines, Dr. Colleen Boyle, with regard to Thorson, Congressman Posey said, if you read through the emails and learn about the meetings and the financial arrangements this crook had with the CDC, it will make you absolutely sick to your stomach. This was no casual researcher way down the line. This is the CDC's key man in Denmark. He was closely tied to the top vaccine safety researchers, and as Thorson was cooking the books to produce the results they wanted, they didn't care whether the studies were valid or how much money was being siphoned off the top. It's like the Security and Exchange Commission and Bernie Madoff. But it's worse because we're talking about someone who basically stole money that was supposed to be used to improve the health and safety of our most vulnerable, our young babies. Dr. Hooker remarked that Thorson had collaborated with the CDC on 36 papers, not just one, as claimed by Dr. Boyle. Little difference between 36 and one. And that the agency refused to investigate studies exonerating vaccines' role in causing autism following Paul Thorson's indictment on wire fraud and money laundering. Posey, the legislator, described Boyle as intentionally evasive in his questioning of her at a congressional hearing. I asked her a very direct question. Have you done a study comparing autism rates in vaccinated versus unvaccinated children? And she replies by telling us about everything she's done. And after she wasted 3 minutes, Posey says, I cut her off and I demanded that she answer the question. And then and only then did she admit that the federal government had never done that very simple, fundamental, basic study. Something the National Institutes of Health says would be the best data to answer the question with. But then the NIH, right after saying that, said, well, we don't need to do that study because the vaccine program is safe. We don't need to find out whether it's safe because we can pretend it is safe without even doing a study to find out if it's safe. In other words, the CDC will put out a hitman on me if I tell you the truth. So you're going to get this, you know, BS here, and we'll just keep going from there. About Boyle's denial of a true increase in autism. Denial of a true increase in autism? Folks, when the word was first used in the early 1940s, it was believed at that time that physicians would rarely, if ever, see a case in their practice. It was that rare. And what are the latest figures now? I believe it was somewhere around 1 in 50 and about roughly twice as prevalent in boys as girls. You don't go from 1 in millions to 1 in tens of thousands to 1 in thousands to 1 in hundreds to 1 in, I know I saw one figure quoting recently, 68. I don't know if that's the most recent one or not. The number has just mushroomed and mushroomed and mushroomed over recent decades in direct correlation with increasing vaccine mandates, increased number of vaccines being mandated and administered to children. This whole thing is just so Boyle says, oh, there hasn't really, not a true increase in autism. I don't understand how anybody can hold a straight face when they say something like that, or how they can even keep a job when they say something like that, because that is just so, there's no way to mistake that. There's no way that this Dr. Boyle could not have known that she was lying when she said that. How do people get into these positions? How do they keep those jobs? How do we allow them to stay there? Anyway, Posey's comment is, I don't think anybody that's intellectually honest with this issue can begin to fathom that lame excuse that she uses. And that's a polite way of putting it. He also described an orchestrated campaign on behalf of the CDC and the vaccine industry. People who do all the blogging and shredding anyone who dares question the uncountable bureaucrats. He spoke of their little media network that will twist the truth to disparage, malign, vilify, denigrate anybody who wants any kind of accountability. In other words, there's just a powerful establishment in place to protect a lie as the truth for whatever agenda or agendas might be at stake here. And we know at minimum there's huge money involved here. The international vaccine industry is a multi-billion dollar industry with projected growth rates in the double digits, 10 to 12% for the next several years. There's just huge money involved. And there are people who, for whom the involvement of the money is all it takes to justify whatever they have to do to keep that money coming in, and who generally and truly don't care or can suppress, if they have a conscience, any care about the adverse effects, the negative consequences. Now, I'm going to sidestep here, and obviously, obviously or not, I'm not a professional medical person. I'm a lawyer, but I will tell you what I understand on a personal level as a parent from what I have learned in my own investigation. And, in real brief summary, psychopaths, many different styles and degrees of psychopath, but the one sort of general characteristic consistent with all psychopaths is a lack of empathy, the inability to relate to the effect your behavior has on others or to feel any remorse. And this, you know, whether it's genetic or induced by some form of toxicity or brain damage when you're a child or abuse and neglect. There may be any one or number or combination of things that bring about this condition. But the fact is there are people through all layers and levels of our society and culture who are psychopaths, and they do not have the ability to experience remorse or to empathize. And these are the kind of people, and some of them are intelligent. Some of them are intellectually gifted, even if they are emotionally deficient in this respect. And when you think about it, in a world where people get ahead by competing in one form or another through competition, people who lack remorse, who don't sympathize, have a larger, broader range of behaviors they're willing to engage in to achieve their goals. Because those of us who do have empathy as part of our mental emotional makeup will not do things, or certainly are a lot less inclined to do things that we know will hurt others physically or emotionally. So necessarily, these are the kind of people, the ones who don't have empathy, who are going to potentially rise to important decision-making positions and positions of power, because when you're competing to get to those positions, they have a broader range of actions and behaviors they can engage in to get there. What I'm saying here, folks, is that people who can, there are people in the world who can and do make decisions that hurt others and don't care. And they can be very intellectually or academically intelligent or even gifted people. And some of those people do find their ways into positions of power, state and federal legislatures, industry executives, CEOs, and so forth. So if you don't think it's possible for somebody to make a decision that they know hurts others for the sake of profit, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. And there are who knows how many vaccine injured and vaccine killed children and adults around the world. Here in the U.S., the FDA and CDC tell us that 90 to 99% of vaccine adverse events never even get reported. So we have no idea what the true scope is. But we do know that it happens because the federal government pays out about $100 million a year for that 1 to 10% that does get reported, and the 25% of that actually gets compensated, because only about a quarter of the cases that apply for compensation ever get compensated. So it's a pretty disturbing scenario. So Congressman Posey, thank you so much for stepping up, speaking out, for speaking truth, for trying to bring awareness to this issue, for calling the emperor who has no clothes on exactly that, having no clothes. Their vaccines are not safe and effective. The science is there to prove it. We're hearing it from medical doctors from around the world, increasingly more and more here in the U.S. and around the world, speaking up, speaking out. And hopefully Bill Posey will help to make it easy for more and more politicians to do the same thing, to step up and speak out. We got to go to break here just a little bit. We're only halfway through today's show, so stick around with us. We got lots more to talk about. I'm going to get into some of the legal rights issues when we come back. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. with vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips on Freedomizer Radio and Homeopathy World Community Radio. We will be back with you in just a little bit, folks. Don't go away.
Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals. a political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Hi, I have a question for you. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Do you want a company that provides good quality ingredients and does not use artificial sweeteners? Look no further. Genesis Pure has a complete lineup of health and wellness, sports performance, and superfruit juices like noni and mangosteen that are pure, wild harvested with no binders and fillers. The philosophy is simple. Cleanse the body of toxins, balance the body's pH and hormones, and build the body nutritionally. Every race has a starting line, and yours is Cleanse, Balance, Build. Sign up for at least a 25% discount and include auto ship of at least one product to start building up 20% back in points for free products. It's a win-win. Help fund our operation while you fund your body nutritionally. Start your journey at genesispure.com/freedomizerhealth. Again, that is genesispure.com/freedomizerhealth.
Your backyard is not a battlefield, but unfortunately, your government might consider that idea open to interpretation. Please join the movement now to help stop the NDAA. On the anniversary of the American Revolution, People Against NDAA, PANDA, will be kicking off its Take Back concert tour around America with a one-day fundraiser to kickstart the resistance. Over 30 artists and speakers will be coming together for a three-stop tour to bring awareness to the NDAA. And since the mainstream media has all but ignored the NDAA, we're getting the word out in a different way, through music. You can help support us by attending our Money Bomb event this April 19th by visiting our website at takebacktour.com. Be the change. Be a part of the resistance. Be a part of history. See you April 19th. Takebacktour.com.
Hello again. Freedomist Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com.
We are back with Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S., Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips. This is a live call-in show, and the number is area code 347-324-3704. That number again, 347-324-3704. 3704, and you can find that number at the top of the Freedomizer website at freedomizerradio.com. Freedomizer with an I-Z-E-R and two R's in there, one for Freedomizer and one for radio, freedomizerradio.com. I had an email from someone recently talking about a situation where a child had to go in and have some kind of surgery done, and the doctor says, we're not going to do the surgery unless this kid gets a vaccine. I tell you, with legal issues, there are often two different arenas. There's what are the legal rights and boundaries, and then what's the practical world, because not everybody knows or follows the law, even if they do know what it is. I tell you, a situation like that, it can be a tough one. It's the vaccine is not going to be something, not likely to be something that has any direct relevance to the surgery. But the starting place is this, and there can definitely be other rights involved here, but the starting place for me anyway is that parents have a legal right and obligation and responsibility as well to raise their children. In the U.S. Supreme Court cases that talk about parental rights and authority, they refer to the phrase that parents have the right to the control, care, and custody of their children, which includes making medical decisions. Now, there are few, if any, rights that are absolute. And there are situations and circumstances where the state can step in and temporarily override a parent's decisions for their children. But they cannot just do that arbitrarily. There's got to be some compelling situation. Now, every state has its own laws about what constitutes abuse and neglect in that state. But as you know, so the specific wording and lines are going to vary somewhat. But the general principle is the same. And it really boils down to this. If there's not some emergency, some serious compelling need, then nobody can step in and tell you how to take care of your child, including require or enforce or impose medical decisions on your child. Now, maybe a doctor in private practice can say, well, I'm not going to treat a child who's immunized, but because the Constitution initially, as a starting place, this only applies to governments. In fact, the federal Constitution originally only applied to the federal government, and it's only because of a series of U.S. Supreme Court cases over roughly the last 100 years or so that the Constitution was interpreted such that some parts of it now apply also to state and local governments. But that would include the 14th Amendment Due Process Clause, which is the part of the Constitution that has been interpreted among many other things as having application to parents and parents' right to parent their children. And you have that right unless there's a showing that you are an unfit parent. So when does a doctor's opinion constitute a showing that a parent is unfit? You know, if your child has some immediate need for medical treatment and you refuse to allow the child to get the medical treatment, a doctor could say, well, this is, you know, medically, the treatment is medically urgent, required, and you are no longer a fit parent. Now, a doctor can't take the child from you, but the doctor can call a social worker who can, based on the doctor's recommendation, can take a child from you. So back to the original issue, though, can a kid who's being scheduled for surgery, can the doctor say, well, I'm going to not going to do the surgery unless you get your kid this vaccine? The Constitution as a starting place doesn't apply to private entities. So if the doctor's in private practice, he might have an argument for saying, well, your constitutional rights don't apply to me. I'm a physician in private practice. I can treat whoever I want to. Well, not so fast. You know, if the situation you're dealing with is one where the doctor will accept Medicaid and Medicare, for example, accept government funding. So there are exceptions everywhere in law. The starting place is private entities, constitutional rights don't apply. But if they have what the law calls substantial ties to government, do they receive or accept funding from the government, for example? Or dealing with the vaccine issue, which is a huge government program and agenda in every state and at the federal level as well. Federal law governs vaccine requirements for immigrants, military members and families, in some situations the families, civilian contractors in the military, foreign adoption, which is just an immigration issue, and so many different arenas where it falls under federal law. But even for state residents, where the vaccine issue is a state law issue, there are, and the question comes up with physicians in private practice or when kids are going to private schools, does a private school have to allow the exemption? And that's a whole separate question we'll get into another time. But you may very well have constitutional rights with respect to your child getting surgery and a doctor saying that, nope, I'm not going to do the surgery. Well, you might be violating these parents' constitutional rights there. You may be overstepping your legal boundaries. Now, if you say that to the doctor, is the doctor going to say, oh, thank you for bringing that to my attention, I'll go ahead and do the surgery? Probably not. But if you bring in an attorney, perhaps in writing to explain law here and to point out their own mainstream views, an isolated child not getting vaccinated doesn't have any effect on risk of infectious disease for that child or anybody else, because according to the herd immunity theory, now the herd immunity theory has been blown out of the water many times from many directions, but it's still widely accepted. So I'm just using their own mainstream views against them in this point here. They believe that herd immunity theory is true, is the point. And herd immunity theory doesn't have anything to do with the vaccination status of any individual. It only concerns the vaccination status of groups. If most people are vaccinated, everyone's protected. That's what the theory essentially says, or at least how it's been interpreted as applying to vaccines. As to whether or not it really does apply to vaccines, well, there's plenty of evidence to show that it really doesn't. But that's their belief and their mainstream view. So they're not even consistent with their own ultimately erroneous but mainstream views on vaccination. Probably the anger, the belligerence, the hubris, arrogance, the unprofessional attitude of doctors in this issue has really very likely has nothing to do with their belief about the health. It has to do with the money they get by maximizing immunization rates or the prestige or placement professionally. The bonus or benefit by adhering to the status quo position or the potential ostracism they're subject to, various kinds of personal and professional attacks if they dare to think for themselves and if that thinking for themselves should bring them to a place where they're challenging the status quo. It's real interesting. I recounted recently, I've actually worked with over 300 healthcare workers around the country over the last 3 years and three, maybe 4 years tops. And I hear from healthcare professionals all over the country. I've never heard an exception to this. 100% consistency. Now, my words, they don't all use the same language, but they all convey the same idea. The hospital work environment is a militant work environment. You are expected to do what you're told, whether you're a nurse or a doctor or whoever. You're expected to shut up, do what you're told, follow orders, not question or challenge anyone or anything. And the last thing I want, if I'm a patient in a hospital, is for anybody who has anything to do with my health and treatment and well-being to have anything other than total latitude to consider and act on what's in my best interest. I don't want anybody doing something because they have to and they're supposed to, unless they absolutely, totally, fully agree with it in their own mind based on their experience and what they've seen. And I hear over and over and over again, nurses in particular, you know, they say, you know, Alan, the administrators keep telling us that all these thousands of deaths from the flu vaccine, where are they? We're not seeing them in our hospital. I hear that from all over the country. And there's some statistical evidence to show that the numbers that we are told about flu deaths, for example, are just made up numbers, twisted, invented numbers. They're really talking about, if anything at all, pneumonia deaths, which they count as flu deaths for some unknown reason, and not all that unknown. It's to sell flu vaccines. But let me bring myself back here. So if you were to have a child who needed surgery and a doctor saying, I'm not going to perform surgery on the child unless you get a vaccine, you know, maybe you should consider bringing in a lawyer to explain to the doctor, and again, this is probably something best done by letter, the parents have constitutional rights, and so you're not really in a position to make this decision. You can certainly offer and recommend, but you'd be violating their rights and probably medical, ethical rules to refuse to operate on a child who needed an operation because the parents didn't agree with you about vaccinating the child, subjecting yourself to a potential lawsuit, especially if absence of the operation had any adverse effects on the child. And by the way, medically, you're being an idiot, because herd immunity protects everybody, whether you're vaccinated or not. The child doesn't need to be vaccinated. These parents' choice is not putting that child or anyone else at any statistically significant risk. What about, according to the CDC, what about the 5 to 15% of kids who don't get vaccines who are not immune? Vaccines don't work in everyone. So this particular child not being vaccinated isn't putting anyone at risk. If you're really concerned about kids who aren't immune, go track down all the vaccinated kids who aren't immune, because there are many, many times more of them than there are children with exemptions at this point in time. Now, we're going to see a shift in this over the next coming months and years and decades, where parents are going to start in droves at some point. This is a snowball effect, and the ball has been pushed down the hill. That step has already been taken. Now, whether it's going to be a slow roll or a quick roll, or at what point it accelerates and how fast, we just have to see how it plays out. But the end game is, the end of the book has already been written. We're just not sure how many pages there are from the chapter one to the last chapter here. And so we'll have to see how it plays out. But we are going to see parents in droves at some point, and adults as well, saying, no, enough is enough. We're not doing this anymore. It's not helpful. It's harmful. And we don't care if a few stinkingly wealthy people in the pharmaceutical industry have to give up one of their Ferraris as a result. So, and we don't care if international bankers aren't ruling the world for a change. Let me push on here. Let's see. We've got about 5 minutes here before I run the outgoing music again. You know, I had someone else contact me regarding a school exemption. I don't often hear major problems with school exemptions, because mostly those are fairly straightforward. But, you know, from time to time, people run into other people with blinders on or something. And here is one where a person exercising a religious exemption was told they had to have a doctor's signature for a religious exemption. Now, apparently, in this particular state, there was something in a regulation somewhere or a school rule, something on a formal level, there was a writing that someone had thrown that in. The doctor has to sign off on a religious exemption. Folks, on the common sense level, that just makes no sense. But on the legal level, it's a violation of the parents' constitutional rights. How do we know what the boundaries are for our constitutional rights? We get that information from legal precedent. Where does legal precedent come from? It comes from actual past court cases. Now, not every court case becomes legal precedent. It's only a tiny percentage of the overall number of court cases that actually end up becoming legal precedent, where it's the ruling in that case is a formal point of reference in the law. But there are a number of cases in state and federal courts around the country that have looked at vaccine religious exemptions. And the bottom line is that you have this First Amendment free exercise of religion right from the federal constitution. And the court cases have said you only got to have two things to have the protection of that First Amendment. You only need two things. You've got to have a belief that's religious in nature and a belief that is sincerely held. Now, what the law means by those phrases is a lengthy discussion. But if you have a qualifying religious belief, then that's all you need. Now, a state could reasonably say, well, you've got to put it in writing or, you know, do something to establish that you really do have the right. You know, that's okay. But they can't add additional requirements on to that. Federal law is a higher legal authority than state law, and so the federal constitutional right is a boundary. The state cannot add additional requirements to the Constitution, you know, for that state's purposes. You know, the state's the lower authority of the two, and certainly a local school district can't do that if that's what it was that was going on in this case. So, was it technically a rule? Apparently it was. You know, when I dug beneath the surface on this issue, it looked like, yeah, there was a writing somewhere. It was in a rule somewhere. Was it a proper rule? No, it violates the free exercise of religion in the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. But once again, they're not going to hear that from the parent. And so if the parent really wants to push the issue in this situation, then the parent's going to need to get an attorney to step in, probably, again, write a letter and say, you know, we understand that this is a rule there and that your reasonable first reaction or response to that is that you have to follow the rules, and, you know, if we want to change the rules, there's a process for that. But in this case, the rule violates the Constitution, and therefore it's not enforceable, and if you try to enforce that rule, my client could sue and would probably win the case. And here's why. Here's the legal precedent that says what the right answer in this situation is. So there are ways to deal with these situations. Unfortunately, when there are conflicts concerning vaccine exemptions and vaccine rights, it's going to be hard to resolve most of those unless you involve a knowledgeable attorney. And at the risk of sounding like a commercial, I work with clients around the country on vaccine exemption and waiver issues, vaccine rights issues. So folks are welcome to contact me. My contact information is at vaccinerights.com, but you can reach me by email at attorney@vaccinerights.com. And I do work from time to time with local attorneys if somebody has a situation where they are already involved with a local attorney or need to involve a local attorney. I will from time to time advise local attorneys about vaccine issues. Local attorneys just it's rare that you find an attorney who has any knowledge or experience about vaccine issues. It's just not something that most attorneys ever see in their practice. Well, let me see if there's anything else I can squeeze in the last minute here or so. Here's an article from Personal Liberty Digest called Mumps Vaccine Proven Ineffective. And in a nutshell, they're pointing out how there are mumps cases that have been occurring predominantly in vaccinated people. That's been the case with mumps outbreaks around the country, pertussis outbreaks around the country. We sometimes have officials, even at the Center for Disease Control, saying that these outbreaks are occurring in vaccinated people, that there's something about the vaccines that's not working. They continue to claim that the mumps vaccine is 95% effective, but that now has been challenged. There are actually two different court cases a while back filed alleging that the manufacturer of the mumps vaccine had basically lied about the efficacy of the mumps vaccine in order to keep other manufacturers out of the market because they didn't get the same efficacy rates. Welcome to America in the 21st century. You've been listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. with Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips every Wednesday afternoon at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Debbie Bruck will be with us at this time next week from Homeopathy World Community. But I will be back the first Wednesday in May. Until then, see you next time, folks.
Whose time has come for us to claim our birthright, each and every one. Evil hands have intervened, controlling from the shadows, think they can't be seen. But we have eyes, see in the dark, to cast a light upon the madness we embark. Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destiny. Upon their face, sincerity, while underneath a self-agenda does proceed. But falsity perfumes the air. The sin screams louder than the finest ever dare. They'll fill your place with GMOs, and soon your lineage will never.
Did you know that healthcare workers around the U.S. are required to get flu shots they don't want to avoid losing their jobs? Or that some state laws allow children to consent to vaccines that can injure or kill them? Join vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips and co-host Debbie Bruck Thursdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 11 Mountain, 12 noon Central, and 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. Learn about your rights and the latest vaccine news from around the world right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
The Weekend Vigilante Show with Sheila Zelinsky.